And let's turn back again. It's been several weeks since we found ourselves in our study of Exodus. Well, let's turn to Exodus chapter 9. Tonight we come to the seventh plague, the plague of hail. Now, the question before us, the lesson before us tonight in this seventh plague of hail is remorse or repentance? We see in Pharaoh someone who has remorse over sin, meaning he's saddened by sin and he very much dislikes the consequences of sin. But remorse is not repentance. Repentance is truly turning away from sin, turning to God in sin, understanding that sin is not just consequences, but it's offending a holy God. It's a sin against your Creator. Tonight we will see Pharaoh showing signs of remorse, but not truly turning from sin, not true repentance. It's a lesson for us. Are you just saddened by the consequences of sin? Maybe the hurt that sin brings to your life or others, or are you truly repenting of your sin, turning away from your sin because it's a sin against our Creator? So we come tonight to Exodus 9, beginning with verse 13. Hear the word of God. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast, and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained down hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as had never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field, in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field, and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in bud. Up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sent servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Well, let's pray together. O Lord, help us now to hear your word, to pay attention to your word, Lord, as we have just heard, Father. Help us not to harden our hearts, Lord, but give us soft hearts to receive your truth. Lord, make us, mold us, shape us into the image of Christ, our Savior. Father, may your Holy Spirit speak clearly to each heart, Lord, and apply your truth, we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, we'll consider 4 points tonight, and we begin first with purposeful judgment. Sometimes we wonder and ask questions, why does God send judgment into the world? Well, we see in the first several verses here of our passage tonight, God stating several reasons why he is bringing this judgment to the people of Egypt, why God is sending these plagues. Our passage begins in verse 13, where the Lord called Moses to rise up early in the morning and go before Pharaoh again. This marking the fifth time that Moses has now gone into the throne room of Pharaoh and declared these same words, "Let my people go that they may serve me." The fifth time. 6 plagues have also already passed. And yet through all of this pleading and through the 6th plague message, he's still refusing to listen, refusing to humble himself. His heart is still hardened. So now notice what the Lord says about this 7th plague of hail. Verse 14, God says, "This time I will send all my plagues." This meaning that the Lord is turning up the intensity, you might say. All my plagues means that the Lord is sending the full brunt, the full force of his judgment. The first 6 plagues were devastating, yes, but this 7th plague is a great increase in devastation. Notice also verse 14, there's something striking here that the Lord says, "I will send all my plagues," God says, "on you yourself." He's speaking this to Pharaoh. Other translations of Scripture translate this on you yourself being upon your very heart. Meaning God is sending these plagues to the very heart of Pharaoh. He's speaking to the heart of Pharaoh. Our passage tells us Pharaoh had even after being humbled 6 times in a row, all of the gods in Egypt, one after another, being humbled and proven they are not like Yahweh, the one true God, Pharaoh is still exalting himself against God. Heart, deny God without consequence. So now God is sending the full brunt of his judgment straight to Pharaoh's heart. That's one purpose of the plagues and God's judgment. We see another purpose of the plagues, which is to demonstrate God's almighty, unique power. Again, notice verse 14. The Lord says, he's sending this judgment so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. You know, back in Exodus chapter 5, when Moses first came to Pharaoh, in Exodus 5, Pharaoh said this, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I do not know the Lord." Pharaoh thought that Moses is God, that Yahweh, who Moses speaks of, he thought that this was just another one of many tribal gods. He says, "Who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord." Pharaoh thought that he could just ignore this God, that he could ignore the Lord. But now you see through the judgment and through the plagues, there is no mistaking that the Lord is the one true God. Verse 4, "There is none like the Lord in all the earth." The Lord is showing directly, speaking to the heart of Pharaoh, to all those in Egypt, "I am the one true God." God also sends these judgments to display his mercy. Verse 15, the Lord says, "By now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth." In other words, God is saying, "I could have already and probably should have already wiped you out, all of Egypt, but I have not." God is seeking to get the attention of Pharaoh and the people of Egypt through these plagues and through his judgment. It's merciful. God's mercy is defined by many as God not giving us what we deserve. That's exactly what God is doing here. He sends judgment, but he's not destroying. That's mercy. When God warns the people before he strikes, that's showing mercy. God's giving opportunity after opportunity to repent. That's his mercy. His mercy is always meant to lead to repentance. And actually, amazingly, verse 20 tells us that some of the Egyptian people did receive the Lord's word. They did respond to his mercy and his warning. They took it seriously. Some of the Egyptians brought their animals inside and their servants inside, and they were spared from the Lord's judgment. Some responded rightly. Some were softened. Some feared the Lord. Now, that's how we are called to respond to the Lord's judgment today. When we sin and God brings consequences into our lives, that's a wake-up call. That's merciful. God disciplines those that he loves. He calls us back to himself. Repent and turn back to me. Hebrews tells us the Lord disciplines those that he loves, those that he cares for. God's judgments also are purposeful, that they lead to his name being praised throughout the earth. Notice verse 16. Verse 16 says, "For this purpose I have raised you up, to show my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." Actually, if we read through the scriptures, we see this coming true, that the Exodus, the plagues, the judgment of Pharaoh in Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, God's power and his name is proclaimed throughout the earth, around the world to this day. So exactly God's purpose in this event is coming to fruition. It's coming true even tonight. Even tonight, here we are all the way across the world, many years later, centuries, thousands of years later, and we're still proclaiming through these plagues. We see this happen almost immediately in Exodus chapter 15. As soon as the Israelites cross over the Red Sea to dry land, Moses starts singing the Song of Moses. And in the Song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15, the people sing, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods?" Exactly what the Lord is predicting here, prophesying in verse 16, "So that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." His name immediately spreads to the other side of the Red Sea. I want you to turn to Psalm 78 for a moment. In Psalm 78, Asaph, one of David's chief musicians, in Psalm 78, he proclaims what the Lord has done in all the earth in a psalm that many are singing to this day. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 43, we read, "When he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of Zoan, he turned their rivers to blood so that they could not drink of their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave their crops to the destroying locusts and the fruit of their labor to the locusts. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamores with frost. He gave over their cattle to the hail," and their staff here is writing a song of praise so that God's people can continue proclaiming the name of the Lord in all the earth, what God has done, his almighty power in the Exodus and in Egypt. Actually, God's name was proclaimed even in Jericho. Listen to Joshua chapter 2. Maybe you remember this passage, the words of Rahab. In Joshua 2:11, Rahab says, "As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." God's power in the Exodus and the 10 plagues being sent, the one true God, the Lord conquering Pharaoh, this spread throughout the world to Jericho, where Rahab is saying, "Our hearts melted when we heard about the power of your God." So God's judgments are purposeful. They're always purposeful. They display his power, they display his mercy, and they cause his name to spread. Second tonight, we see a warning that is to pay attention to the Lord. Notice verse 21. Egyptians listened to God's word, and they brought their animals and their servants under shelter. But verse 21 tells us others did not pay attention to the word. Now this phrase, for every Christian to know, pay attention to the word means literally they didn't take it to heart. That's always a danger when you come to the word of God. There is a difference in hearing the word of God, hearing it with your ears, but taking the word to heart. Taking the word to heart is doing as James says, not just being hearers of the word, but being doers of the word also. Paying attention to the word such that it sinks into your own heart and then results in obedience, following what God says. Those who took their livestock and their servants and put them under shelter, that was taking God's word to heart. Christian, when God says, turn away from sin, repent of your sin, sin is dangerous, come to me, that's taking his word to heart when you obey. We can't just hear the word, we must take it to heart. After the warning, we notice verse 22. We see Moses took his shepherd's staff, he stretched it out towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as had never been in all the land of Egypt. I remember several years ago when Megan and I lived in Mississippi, and we had about a 15-minute storm that devastated almost the entire city of Jackson and really the entire state. It was basically a 15-minute storm of golf ball-sized hail. Houses destroyed, roofs destroyed. My truck was destroyed by the storm. Nobody dared go outside during that time, and this was just golf ball-sized hail. I still remember the sound from indoors, hearing the hail hit the roof and the cars. It was a deafening sound. That is nothing in comparison to this storm that we see here in Egypt. Notice it's continuous hail, very heavy hail, thunder crashing nonstop, fire raining down. This is speaking of lightning. It's nonstop lightning and thunder over and over again. Amazingly, everything that was outside fell down dead. All of the plants were struck down. Verse 25 tells us even the trees, every tree was broken. That is a powerful storm. Verse 23 in the Hebrew language. In the Hebrew language in verse 23, we see the word kol, K-O-L. Actually, this speaks of a voice. The word for thunder is the word kol. So when we read or hear of this thunder, it's speaking of a loud voice. I want you to turn over to Psalm 29. And in Psalm 29, we see this same Hebrew word, kol, K-O-L. Excuse me, Q-O-L. Psalm 29, verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. See that now in Psalm 29, it's being explained what's happening there in Egypt. It's the voice of the Lord speaking. The powerful voice of the Lord breaking the cedars. The powerful voice of the Lord thundering over Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. Here in Psalm 29, David is praising God for his almighty, powerful voice. The voice that speaks love to us, kindness to us, mercy, grace to us. It's the same voice that thunders, roars judgment over the people of Egypt. One author says, this is no mere earthly storm. This is the very voice of the Lord raining down terror on Pharaoh and Egypt. See, the Lord was merciful. He warned Egypt. He gave them opportunity to repent, to find safety, to find shelter, to prepare for this. The Lord does the same today. He tells us in His Word, Psalm 95, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Meaning, when the Lord speaks, pay attention. Pay attention to the Word of the Lord. Obey. And notice verse 26 back in Exodus 9. Verse 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Again, God spared His people, His chosen people, the Israelites, showing God's complete sovereign control over this storm and His purposeful mercy to the people of Israel. Now, Dr. John Currid points out something amazing here in this chapter, in this section of verses. He points out that the Hebrew word for land or earth is used 7 times in this section of verses. We see 6 times the word land or earth referring to the terrible storm that's happening in Egypt. Read through the passage and you see 6 times land, 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 land. One of the times you see the word earth. But then there's a 7th time that this word is used. Verse 26, only in the land of Goshen. Now his theory is that this is in the land of Goshen where God's people spared. The 7th occurrence of this word land is speaking to the 7th day of Sabbath peace and rest, relief. Just as in the creation, the Sabbath was the 7th day, a day of enjoyment and peace in God, so the 7th use of this word land is speaking of God's people who find their rest in Him. So the lesson is pay attention to the word of the Lord, follow the word of the Lord, and there you will find true peace and true rest. Third, this evening we move to Pharaoh's confession. Notice verse 27. We read, then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Now we've been watching a progression with Pharaoh. At first he didn't even admit that he knew who God was. He didn't admit that he knew the Lord. He's moved all the way now to admitting that he has sinned, that he and his people are in the wrong. Pharaoh is under the pressure that the Lord is sending through these plagues. But notice the words, this time. He says, I have sinned this time. Meaning, all the other things that I did in the past, all the other times I've hardened my heart and lied and said I would do one thing and did another, forget about all that. The only time I have sinned is this time. We can tell that this is a phony confession, right? It's not a real confession of sin. It's not real repentance. You know, this is the child who you tell the child to say sorry and they grit their teeth and say sorry. They don't really want to repent of their sin. Pharaoh just wants relief from the Lord. See verse 28. Pharaoh then asks for a 3rd time that Moses plead with God on his behalf. Moses, go before the Lord and pray for me. Ask God to stop this storm. Pharaoh just wants relief. And this is where Phil Ryken writes about the difference between remorse and repentance. He says, remorse is being sorry for what you have done, or even sorry for what has happened to you. Some of us have felt that way about our sin. We're sorry for what's happened to us. Sorry that we got caught. Sorry that it affected someone else. Sorry for the consequences. He goes on to say, repentance is turning from your sin. He says, the true test is what happens after. What happens after the pain What happens after the suffering? Do you turn from your sin? Continue walking in a new obedience? Or do you go right back to the old ways? That's remorse. When the trial ceases, you say, oh, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. Thank you for getting me out of this pickle, out of this trouble, and you go right back to where you were before. That's remorse. But repentance is even after the trial has ceased, you turn and continue turning from your sin. So see here, Moses went out, he stretched out his hands, he prayed to the Lord, and what happened? The storm ceased. What does Pharaoh do? When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Not only Pharaoh, but he leads his servants in doing the same. Pharaoh was able to admit wrong. He admitted sin. He admitted weakness. But he never once repented. Repentance is turning from the sin. And when the relief came, when the trial was over again, Pharaoh went right back to his old ways. He hardened his heart again. What a lesson that is for us. Christian, are you truly repenting of your sin? Are you turning from your sins? Or, like Pharaoh, are you experiencing temporary remorse for? And we see a great lesson with Pharaoh, the danger of just temporary remorse, the hardening of his heart. As Pharaoh does this over and over again, his heart becomes calloused, harder and harder with each passing time. Soon the hard heart is so calloused that even the remorse over sin fades away. Finally, tonight we see a picture of final judgment. Like we have seen with several of the previous plagues, the plague of hail is prefiguring the final judgment. So I want you to turn over with me to Revelation chapter 16. The plague of hail is prefiguring what we see in the final judgment. Revelation 16, beginning with verse 17. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. So notice, this is the same judgment. Flashes of lightning, peals of thunder, hailstones, but it's all even to a greater extent. The storm in Egypt was a storm that had never been seen in the land. This storm at the final judgment is one that has never been seen in all the earth. It's a greater judgment. In Pharaoh's case, he hardened his heart. Here in the final revelation, the people do the same. They're so hardened that all they can do in this storm is shake their fist and curse God. This is the judgment that is awaiting those who do not pay attention to the word of the Lord while there is still time. The world around us, those who refuse to repent, not come all the way to Christ, all the way to the Lord. Where do we see Christ in this passage tonight? We see Christ, that he is the greater land of Goshen. The land of Goshen, where God's people were protected. Where no hail, God's people were in perfect peace and perfect rest in the land of Goshen. Christ is the greater Goshen. When we hide ourselves in him, we are secure from God's judgment. All who run to him are safe from this everlasting storm, from this everlasting judgment. And Christian, knowing that judgment is coming soon, that this final terrifying judgment is coming soon for all the world, how can we keep the fact that we know Christ and we know his word and we know there's salvation and peace and rest and security in him? How could we keep that to ourselves? We must go out into the world. We must run and tell others. The storm of God's wrath, the storm like has never been seen on the earth, it is coming soon. But there is shelter in Christ. Take shelter in Christ today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the greater land of Goshen, which is our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, that there is mercy. There's grace, Lord. There's shelter from the judgment of God, the wrath of God, that we deserve because of our sin, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us that eternal security in Christ. Help us now, Lord, to go out and proclaim that to the world. And help us, Father, not just to have remorse over our sin, Lord, but to truly repent and continue to be molded into the image of Christ our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen.